You're listening to Pastures of Plenty, a history of California's farm workers. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman. When Cesar Chavez saw only limited success in the grape strike, he made a decision that would change the way America looked at farm labor for decades to come. He called a general boycott of table grapes. Thousands of young volunteers joined the boycott, standing in front of grocery stores, encouraging the public to vote with its wallet to stop the abuse of farm workers. It worked spectacularly.
Señores y señoritas, hoy los vengo a saludar, hoy los vengo a saludar. Señores y señoritas, y aunque mi canto es sencillo, nadie lo podrá callar. ¡Viva la lucha obrera y la unidad popular!
As Cesar Chavez was drawing a large contingent of workers and civil rights activists around him in Delano, he also caught the attention of a young aspiring actor and playwright whose life experiences mirrored his own and whose ties to Delano went just as deep.
Yeah, I'm Luis Valdez. I'm the founding artistic director of a Teatro Campesino in San Juan Bautista. In my case, I was born in a labor camp in Delano. But there was work, there was labor there. And in the 1920s, when they arrived, King Cotton was being developed, and King Grape was on its way, and DiGiorgio was just starting his great big ranch, Sierra Vista Farms, right outside of Delano and Early Mart. And that's where my dad worked. And that's where we struck, 40 years later. As I was growing up, we and my family toured the entire state. We used to do the annual trek, which happened really started before I was born, the annual trek from Delano and Early Mart to San Jose. San Jose and the whole Santa Clara Valley was a real Garden of Eden. It was a mecca in those days, and it's hard to describe for people that didn't know it then. It was incomparably beautiful, I think, and that's how I remember it as a child. I'll never forget coming over from the San Joaquin Valley and going over Pacheco Pass, which was basically two lanes then, and then coming around the bend over here at Soap Lake and getting the first glimpse of Gilroy and of the southern Santa Clara Valley. And always just being filled with joy, at seeing it, because it not only promised a summer that was a lot cooler than the San Joaquin Valley, but and work, prosperity really was right around the corner in that sense, because we were going to work. It's no longer the same. The trees are gone. Gilroy has vestiges of some of the cherry trees that are left. It's enormous when you think of the impact, I guess, that all this paving and building has had on the natural environment of this part of the world. As soon as I could walk, basically, I was 6 years old when I was very consciously at labors, in the fields. Peaches were a torture, really, because they're picked in the summer and the fuzz comes off and gets under the shirts and you're sweating. And so it's torture, to do that. It's a lot of people eat peaches, they love peaches, we all love peaches. I drink peach tea. but a lot of people don't realize what a torture it is to work in the peaches, it isn't just the labor. You're talking about a way of life here. And with the way of life come perspectives and stories and modes of behavior, that the way women take care of their kids. I'll never forget, so I was second in line out of 10 siblings. My younger brothers and sisters essentially were cradled in fruit boxes out in the field. So my mother knew exactly how to put the blankets into a fruit box and to pack the kid into the field. And to drag the box along as we were working. it's ironic, but a certain kind of confidence that comes from being a farm worker. You always know that you can do that. It's kind of a depression mentality in a way, but it's, in some ways, once you've worked in the fields, you're not going to always do that. And you don't want to do it. I don't want to go back to the fields. It's the last thing I want to do. But if it ever comes to that, I know I can do it. Yeah. I know I can grow food if I need to.
Luis Valdez got his first taste of the theater in a tiny school production in Delano and never looked back. He went to college and studied science, then the arts, and was on his way to becoming a noted playwright when he came across the UFW newspaper El Malcriado. It changed his life.
My grandmother, who was still in the valley, sent a copy of El Malcriado to my mother in San Jose. And I discovered that there was a United Farm Workers Association organizing in Delano and Early Mark. And I discovered this guy, Cesar Chavez, was organizing farm workers. And that galvanized me in the other direction. I said, you know what? I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do, which is I'm going to go back and work with farm workers and use the arts. I'm going to use the theater.
Okay, so with Teatro Campesino, a theater that bases itself on four characters. And who are they? Well, there's the Esquirol. Now, the Esquirol is the scab, the strike breaker. We encourage audience participation, by the way. The scab, the strike breaker. The word Esquirol is new to the Mexican-American vocabulary. Almost 2 years ago, when we went out on strike, we used to go out into those vineyards and we'd see them, you see. We'd see a scab hiding behind the vines someplace. We'd see him and say, hey, you, Esquirol, get out of there.
Inspired by the political theater of Europe and the street theater of San Francisco's mime troupe, Valdez began to write plays that directly addressed the farmworkers' experience. El Teatro Campesino performed on picket lines, at rallies, and later at universities and theaters, but always with its worker audience in mind.
I was touching a living tradition. You know, this is how history happens, is that you pass the baton. And so the baton was passed to me, and I figured that the most natural thing that I could do was to go back to Delano, this place that I had abandoned in my mind and heart as the sum whole of the universe. And that place had suddenly flowered into a place of rebirth. You know, I'd become Delano.
Buenos dias, señorita.
Si, muy amable.
He looks lazy to me.
Well, we got other models. Y muy hard-working ones, too. This is our farm labor special. See? A whole familia for the price of one. Watch.
¡Déjale!
Vamos, viejita, si no trabajamos, no comemos.
As you can see, they are picking melons.
I wouldn't know.
Cutting grapes.
Versatile, aren't they?
Picking cotton. That is a slow speed for late in the season. Let me show you their fast speed.
My goodness, look at them work.
And that isn't the half of it.
Wonderful, but is he economical?
Señorita, you are looking at the Volkswagen of Mexicans. Mm. One plate of beans and tortillas, and you can keep our models going for 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tribute really probably to my parents. They loved to laugh. That's all the life. That was all they could do to survive, really. We spent a lot of time laughing, you know, and not laughing at people, but certainly laughing at things, laughing at fate, laughing at life, you know. And that laughter didn't stop just because I got political. It seemed to me that it was necessary to laugh at things, right?
Se levantó nuestra gente en los campos de Delano pidiendo mejores sueldos por trabajar el terreno. Estado de California, en el condado de Kern.
Luis Valdez has written and directed films like Zoot Suit and La Bamba, as well as dozens of plays with El Teatro Campesino. Today, he still runs the company out of a renovated vegetable packing house in San Juan Batista, right on the San Andreas Fault. On the heels of a successful grape boycott, the United Farm Workers Union shifted away from field organizing, much to the dismay of the rank and file. In 1970, pressure was building for a strike in the lettuce fields of Salinas, home of John Steinbeck, and the biggest lettuce-producing region in the country. Here's author and historian Frank Bardicky.
These highly organized, highly motivated farm workers who wanted to go on strike immediately, and the UFW, which came from this experience of a losing strike, which then they had won with a boycott, who really wanted to hold them back, who didn't want to go on strike. And there was a extended battle. Finally, towards the end of the summer, the farm workers couldn't be held back, and they struck.
Not far from San Juan Bautista, Armando Asensio is walking through the lettuce fields in Salinas, remembering the day in 1970 he got the courage to walk off the job and join the United Farm Workers in their strike against the fresh-picked lettuce company. Back then, field organizers were exhorting the lettuce workers to join the struggle, or la huelga.
Okay, right here is the Fresh Beet Company, the fields. This is the first company that started the strike. The first company, 1970, okay? I'm working right here in those fields. My first day, really, I wasn't understand anything about unions. For me, it's something really very new. One guy, name is Marshall, coming to talk to us about the strike, about the union. I don't know nothing about it. When my first time I picked up the flag, really I scared. Okay? You know why? Because I know my boss fired me right away anyway.
As word of the strike spread, more and more crews of Mexican workers walked off the job in adjacent fields.
Okay. Next field is another one, it's the same company, have another crew intact. Hey, you know what? It's in a strike. Huelga, huelga, huelga. Why? Because we need the contract. Okay. But the final free speaker say, okay, they sign a contract.
But in 1970, in Salinas Valley, with about 15,000 workers, for 6 months of the year, produced 80% of all the vegetables sold commercially in the United States. Unbelievably productive people. You could go out there and if somebody gave you a lettuce knife, you could like bend over and cut a head of lettuce. It isn't that difficult. But to do it 6, 7, or 8 hours a day, to decide between which ones have to be cut this time through and which ones don't, to get the 24 heads of lettuce and put them in a box, to do it at a speed where you make very much money, you couldn't do it. One of the really wonderful stories about the 1970 strike is that the strike was so effective that the growers decided that as kind of a demonstration, they and their families would go out and they would cut celery themselves. They would cut the celery themselves. Well, in one of my most favorite incidents in California agricultural history, they got all the press there and television cameras and press there. They could not pack one box of celery.
Finally, after a protracted and tense standoff, Fresh Picked Lettuce Company signed the union contract. Working conditions did improve dramatically with the UFW. Better sanitation in the fields, better wages, and more breaks. And when Congress passed the Agricultural Labor Relations Act, for the first time, union workers' rights to organize and strike were protected by law. Dr. Philip Martin of UC Davis says Cesar Chavez and the UFW had a major impact on the quality of farm workers' lives.
Between 1965 and 1980, the so-called golden age for U.S. farm workers. And that was the time of Cesar Chavez. That was the only time for which we have data when farm worker wages rose faster than non-farm wages. Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers were getting wage increases of 40% in 1 year back in the mid-1960s. And farm worker wages under union contracts were twice the minimum wage. So that in today's terms, that would mean farm worker union wages here in California of something like $15 an hour.
Here's historian Richard Stephen Street.
In 1970, the United Farm Workers Union obtained grape contracts with the entire table grape industry. And it looked like they were going to go on to organize the entire agricultural industry. potentially creating the largest agricultural union in the United States.
That period started eroding in really the early 1980s with the peso devaluation in Mexico and a reaction of California growers against the union and the contracts here.
But gazing over the fields at a crew of lettuce workers today, Armando Asensio looks angry. He says the union abandoned field organizing in the early 1990s after its push to organize strawberry workers in Central California fizzled.
But now we don't have any leaders no more. That's the problem. The fields go down again. Those guys don't have a contract no more.
Frank Bardicky says the UFW hasn't been a real factor since they tried to organize the canneries in the 1980s.
Wages have fallen dramatically since the height of the UFW in, say, 1984. Yeah, the UFW has somewhere between 3,000 and 7,000 people under contract is all in California right now. And once the union was defeated, wages stagnated. The nominal wages stagnated, and real wages just plummeted. But it's basically the UFW is pretty much a non-factor in the fields today.
But UFW veteran Andy Imaton feels differently. He says the union is in good hands with Arturo Rodriguez, Cesar Chavez's son-in-law, who took over after his death in 1993.
What we fought for is still continuing with it. And of course, we are getting old and we're going to go one day. And somebody young and reliable, you know, and the workers could relate to would be fine.
Here is Arturo Rodriguez addressing a crowd of 5,000 marchers in Salinas on Cesar Chavez's birthday, 2006.
Y le voy a decir que en Salinas, California, hoy día,
we are here to say that in Salinas, California, today, many people are marching. Friends, the people in Washington, D.C., have to hear the voice of the people. They have to hear the voice of the farm workers. They have to hear our voice because we know that today we march and tomorrow we vote.
You've been listening to Pastures of Plenty, a history of California farm workers, destination El Norte. I'm Luis Valdez. Many things have changed in the field since we marched through the streets of Delano in 1965. Better wages and conditions are still evidence of the legacy of Cesar Chavez. But some things have gotten worse again. In 2006, the U.S. government stepped up immigration raids in California and Colorado, deporting thousands. Pears in Lake County, California, rotted on the trees, while some farmers plowed under their orchards for lack of workers. One thing is clear. The biggest agricultural state in the U.S. can only continue to produce if the immigration issue is resolved. And that will be up to the next Congress and the President to change. Please visit our website at www.coastridge.org. This project is made possible, in part, by a grant from the California Council for the Humanities as part of the Council's Statewide California Stories Initiative. The Council is an independent nonprofit organization and a state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Pastures of Plenty was produced by Rachel Ann Goodman, consulting by Claire Schoen, website by Jay Molina and Joan Andrews. This has been a Coast Ridge production. Thanks for listening.